Praise the Lord. Amen. He is good.
Amen.
And those who have tasted, praise God, may be seated. But praise the Lord. Those who have tasted will know that he is good and will want for nothing else. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because he has prepared a feast for us. Amen. Praise God.
He has.
Papa has.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're continuing, praise God, looking... It is actually based in Ephesians, but we're going all over, aren't we? Praise God. We're looking at ministry. God is restoring ministry. I want to look tonight at deacon in particular and servant in general, which will bring us into body ministry. We're all called to serve, and I want to look around the whole issue of being faithful, what it is to serve and to be faithful. But friends, I do want to emphasize this. In terms of relationship, this is not a call to start being busy or to start getting condemned or striving to quote unquote start doing something. This is simply a revelation of what God is restoring in the body of Christ in his own time and way, and it's an outgrowth. What we do is a visible outgrowth of what we are in the Lord. It's a manifestation of our relationship to Jesus. So let's bear this in mind as we look at some things that are going to challenge. Please bear that in mind. This is a call to an understanding of what God is restoring, and it must come out of relationship. It comes out primarily, we're called to worship him, we're called to love him, to receive his love, to radiate his love, to worship him. And I'm very sensitive, without getting emotional, but I'm very sensitive, very aware of the fact that a lot of my brothers and sisters listening to this aren't in assemblies as we know it.
Yes.
So my heart goes out to you. Stay with it. I know from what the word says. I don't have schedules and details and maps and how it's all going to happen. But I know in my heart, you know, it's God's desire. He is the great shepherd. He will feed his flock. He will nurture. He has promised restoration.
Yes.
And, you know, the Lord can and will, I believe, in some cases, build a church around you. Who knows what the day will bring forth? Who knows that in the time that we have remaining, you see, Jesus is coming for the church that's getting it right, for the bride that is making herself ready to sit under that ministry. And, you know, dear friends, our prayers are with you, our heart does go out to you. And the Lord is faithful. I'm sure you'll have a testimony of God's faithfulness, his preservation, his care, and that, you know, praise God, in some cases he will provide, he will set an assembly, bring it to you or lead you, but praise God that it would be an overcoming assembly with a pure end time message, the word of faith. Rest where you are, rest with us, God will provide.
Yes.
Don't go looking, don't go searching, don't go striving. Remain, rest in the Lord. Our prime objective in this life is to, anyone remember, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Rest in that relationship, dear friends.
Yes.
Let him, he's undertaken, let him do the work. He's pledged himself that he will provide as we remain faithful to him, according to where we find ourselves today. Praise God. So with that in mind, I want to look at deacon, at the ministry of deacon, and at what it is to serve, and just to remain faithful. Now, the first thing I want to say, and I'll doubtless repeat it as I go through this, before we begin to look at scriptures, is if our ministry, whatever our ministry is, if this is effective in God's hands, if it is actually producing the fruit in the kingdom, and if it is truly a threat to the devil, you're going to be under attack. You'll find it under attack. If everybody comes to you and it's all nice and swimmingly and it's running like a well-oiled machine and everybody's saying, oh, praise, and you know, praise God. Some people do say, praise God, what a blessing. But if that's all you ever hear, if that's all you ever get, everybody commending and all the pats on the back and everything going well, then that would be an indication for me, time to get on my knees, seek Lord, where am I missing it? Where's it going? Where am I going wrong?
Yeah.
If you're really doing a good job, as it were, in the kingdom, then the enemy is going to get upset by that, and he's going to throw stuff at you. If you're going through those trials, friends, then rejoice, praise God. Your prayers are prevailing before God. Your ministry is effective in the hands of Almighty God. So I trust that's an encouragement for those who are going through trials at the moment.
Yes.
Praise God. You're on the right track. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Nothing joyful has ever happened throughout Scripture, throughout the history of the kingdom of God on earth, since Adam sinned, that is, since the fall, I have to say, because it wasn't like that in paradise until the fall into sin. But since that time, nothing joyful has ever come without being birthed in sorrow. Nothing ever worthwhile has ever been accomplished except through our trials and tests. And so many at this point give up because they think, well, it must not be God's will. Maybe this is God telling me that I'm not in his perfect will in this. And we fail at the first hurdle. Whatever we're called to do, it will require faithful endurance. And this is worth taking a note, that whatever we are called to do will require faithful endurance, because things are going to be exposed as we're busy about the Father's business, as we're busy about the kingdom. Things will be exposed from within. Things will attack us from without. And you don't let the devil say, oh, well, it must not be God's will. I'm doing the wrong thing, because this is God's judgment. God is trying to tell me I'm out of this. But no, you're doing a great job. That's why you're under attack. That's why you're going through what you're going through. And this is the beginning. What you're going through is the seed that is being sown. This is the beginning of a greater blessing for you, deliverance, whatever it would be that God's doing. Greater blessing for you and the body of Christ through you as we overcome in this, as we just endure, as we remain faithful. We do not know what it is to be faithful until we've been tempted to be unfaithful. And endurance is going to sort it out. Because once we've made the commitment, praise God, there may be a happy honeymoon period for a while and everything just anointed and blessed and everything going really well, and it will stay anointed, it will stay blessed, but things suddenly start in the natural apparent failures, things going wrong, whatever, can't cope too much and all the rest of it. It's at that point, it's the decision we make then that will determine truly what's really in our hearts concerning this. Having heard from God, are we going to remain faithful, or do we give up at the first hurdle? So all of these things to bear in mind as we look through this. We believe we've been called, we've been chosen. We've studied the doctrine of election. We know in our lives, in our heart, by the Spirit, Abba Father, that the kingdom, we're not only in the kingdom, but the kingdom is in our hearts. It's not just a theological thing, it's not a religious thing. We have met with the risen Christ. And him, his kingdom is within us, in our hearts. We have that vision within us. We are in that kingdom, and the kingdom in us. Praise God. Within that call to discipleship, we soon learn that it's not just knowing the theology about calling and election. Election is unto responsibility. We have been called to or for a certain purpose. And to remain faithful, what God is looking for is not great, spectacular, awesome miracles and all kinds of mountain-moving things. He'll do that in time. It's the establishment in our hearts that of all the things God has called us to, a great, fruitful ministry is a faithful ministry. A productive, fruitful ministry, a productive, fruitful life in the kingdom is a crucified life. This is not the first time you've heard that, but that's what it is. A fruitful life is a crucified life. A faithful, productive life is one that endures to the end. Now, if we're doing things that maybe take us away from the word or worship, do you know what I mean? Then that's a valid, that's a legitimate thing that you can question. But if we're just giving up because nobody's said thank you, nobody's offered to help me out, it's all on me, and I we have to ask, well, is that pride? Are we resenting the requirements, the demands on our life? Or did we start doing something that God didn't call us to? If we know that the Lord has put us in a thing, rest in that, stay with it, no matter what it looks like at the time. Because it will be tried, it will be tested, and God is dealing with our motives. Pride will resent the time it takes, for want of a better word, the effort, the commitment it requires. But faith won't. Faithfulness, that humble, bowed knee before God, a faithful saint understands that it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. It's a work of grace, not a work of duty, not a work of having to, because nobody else is doing it. Suppose I'd better do it. It's a work of grace. And therefore, it's God's grace that will enable us to endure, to remain faithful in that. Now, no condemnation in this, because God knows where each one of us are. He knows our motives, he knows our hearts. We'll look at that later. As Paul himself said, you know, I don't judge anything against myself. I don't know my own heart. It's God who knows everything. Let us not judge anything before the time. It will all be revealed in due time. So don't let's be too hasty in judgment. But once God has given us the inexpressible privilege serving him, serving the body of Christ, serving our brothers and sisters, stay with it, friends. Amongst all humanity, we have been privileged by being given a gift with which to serve the body of Christ. I don't even want to compare it and say that there's no amount of money that could buy that. It defies comparison. It is the most unique, standalone privilege any of us can ever experience, to be given a gift to serve the body of Christ. So I just wanted to sort of lay that as a foundation. If we look, then we're talking about being a deacon, so an office, Acts chapter 6, this is where the deaconship first started, but we're all called, as I say, as we're going to look at later, to be a servant, Acts chapter 6. So really, we're looking specifically at the office ministry of deacon, but also the whole principle of faithful servant and stewardship, really, stewardship also. Being faithful to what God has given us. So in Acts chapter 6, situation arose, well, we'll read it in scripture. A practical situation arose. It's something quite trivial, really, in a sense, but it's a practical situation. Acts chapter 6. Now, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, so God is really blessing and adding to the church, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. So the Hebrew Christians were complaining against the Greek Christians because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Somebody was not getting their share of food and what their practical needs being met. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Amen to that. Praise God. They were getting that right, and we'll see that that was correct because of how God blessed. "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Can't say amen strongly enough to that. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." So the church witnessed with that. "And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip," which we looked at before, remember, he eventually went on to become the evangelist. "Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, Apostolite, Antioch, from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. That's to separate them, to commend them to the ministry. So it's the church that chose, that selected them. The apostles didn't select them. The church selected them, and the apostles then, as an act of commendation, laid hands on them. But it was the church's choice, but there's authority working within the assembly. And here's how God blessed. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. I'm going to leave it there because we've seen the rest of what happened to Stephen. So in verse 8 is important because this is simply a deacon's ministry. Full of faith, power, he did great wonders and signs among the people to provide. Okay, there was a dispute, and then it ended up in his eventual martyrdom. They lied about him, because we're told in verse 3 that these had to be men of good reputation. So he was blameless, and yet his enemies, because he was doing such a great job for the kingdom, his enemies lied about him, found a way in to destroy him. So don't be discouraged, friends. If the enemy's having a go, you're doing a great job in the kingdom. You're not that there's a false pat on the back, but be encouraged. The devil is not going to mess about if you're not a threat to him. Not you, obviously, but the faith that God has put within you. So here we see these great signs, these miracles, these wonders. This is the working of miracles. This is the gift of faith that God has put within the assembly for material provision. Do not be afraid. Let's get rid of that poverty spirit. God will provide, and provide abundantly, to meet the needs, so that we can forget about that nonsense and concentrate on the word of God and prayer and building for eternity. You physically, emotionally, spiritually cannot build two kingdoms at the same time. Our own kingdom and career and life in this life, and attempt to give ourselves to the kingdom to come. We can't do it. God knows that. As we'll read in scripture later, you cannot serve God and mammon. If we serve God, God will give us mammon to serve us. The mammon will serve us. If we serve mammon, mammon will destroy us. God won't. That's not God's will. God will allow it. But it's the mammon, that love of money is the root of all evil. But money isn't. The love of money is. And as God delivers us from that anxiety, that covetous must have, and I can't do without, and what if, we need deliverance from that, so that we can be faithful in what God has called us to serve him. Now, this is God's grace, his love, his grace and mercy over a church that's young, it's growing. And look how he blessed. Look how we're told that the word of God multiplied, disciples were added, because they did the right thing. Without reproach, but because, hindsight, 2020 is always great, isn't it, when you've seen other people's mistakes. These early Christians complained to the apostles, a bit like the children of Israel complaining to Moses. Wouldn't it have been so much better, and wouldn't it be so much better in our lives, if instead of complaining to the ministry, we'd get on our knees and seek the Lord? Just lay that request at his feet, and he will provide that way. Because he's the one providing. That as we, with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God, he will abundantly provide, without the murmuring, without the complaining. Yes, I know the theory, there's always better to sometimes than our experience, but it is God's word. It is what God is working within us. A total deliverance from any concern about material issues. God will preserve, he will provide. Praise God. To enable us to remain faithful to him, to remain focused on the things of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Now we're all called to serve. We're all called to serve. And if anybody was to ask me, Brother Bob, what can I do to help? What can I do to serve the body of Christ? How can I help? There may be one or two practical things. And it's like an ongoing thing that I will always say, and the thing that I always first go to, the most important, powerful way that we can serve one another, serve the body of Christ, is prayer. And I don't mean be warmed, be filled, because scripture comes against that delusion. If you have the practical wherewithal, then that's one way you can serve. Be led by the Lord in that, though. Right? Use wisdom in that. There are many complicated issues sometimes with this. You know, maybe that person, I mean, you don't know this, you're not their judge, but maybe there's a reason that they're going through what they're going through. But fundamentally, our desire, our heart, is to give. It's an open-hearted, it's a generosity, it's a giving nature that God has put within us, because that's his heart. But he will show, he will be led by the Spirit in that. But basically it's to give. Never turn a need away. And if you can't, for some ethical reason, give financially or practically, the most important thing you can do, genuinely, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I know when people have prayed for me. We all have. We've all experienced that. When you just know, wow, Lord, there's a supply of grace going on here. People have been praying for me. And this is why we're in the assembly. Dear friends, the prayers of the saints support each other. It is the prayers of the saints. That is the most important ministry any believer could ever have. Also, it is the foundational ministry of any other ministry that God will eventually lead you into. You want a ministry? It begins in prayer. You want doors of ministry, doors of witness? You want to see people healed? You want to see these great things? So do I. It begins on our knees in prayer. Nothing but nothing will ever happen until we have learned to pray the prayer of faith. Unless we are, you see, the prayer of faith, properly just believing, praying on righteous ground, touching the heart of God, that is where we learn all that we need to learn for our ministry. That is where the Holy Spirit trains us in ministering to man. Power with God means power with men. If you want power in your ministry, prayer is the preparation. Because there's coming a time when we don't minister to people by praying for them. And what I mean by that is, I'm not contradicting what I've just said. Somebody comes to you and says, I'm sick, pray for me. It's coming a time when it won't be prayer, it'll be a spoken word. I'm in desperate need, pray for me. Well, the overcomer will speak into that person's life. But to get to that place, that's prayer. The spoken word, the ministry, that's the gift of faith I'm talking about, comes about as we use, by the fruit of faith, the Spirit, we yield to the Holy Spirit, and he teaches us to pray the prayer of faith, to pray through, to touch the heart of God. Because that's how Jesus ministered. He would spend many hours alone, mountains, wilderness, alone, apart, praying all night. Or like in John 4, fasting, wasn't he? The disciples didn't know what he was doing. I have food to eat that you do not know about. That was his communion with God. preparation for the day's work. And as a result of that, you'll find the following day, for example, he would have revelation of the... He didn't have just 12 disciples to begin with. There were a multitude of disciples, but from the multitude he chose 12 to be apostles. Now that was about the most important choice he was going to make in respect of their walk with him. To choose apostles, you know, 12 apostles that were going to be foundational members of what was later to be the church, the body of Christ. He was up in all night in prayer for that, for the wisdom of the Father. And the feeding of the multitudes, all the great notable miracles that he did began from the preparation in prayer. He touched the Father. The raising up of Lazarus. He groaned in the Spirit. Remember, we looked at that. He touched the heart of the Father, who then anointed him. The power of raising up the dead. So it all comes, whatever it is that God has called us to, comes from that prayer, comes from a consecrated prayer life. You say, well, that's completely beyond me. Yeah, me too. I understand how you feel at that point. But who do we turn to if we experience, or if we encounter something that is completely beyond us? Who do we turn to? You know? You ask the Lord. He knows it's impossible. He knows the complexity of modern living. He knows what we're going through. He knows exactly what you and I, at this present time, what we're thinking, what we're going through, what we're experiencing, our apparent failures, our apparent problems. I'm putting apparent because at the end of the day, what are they to God? To us, they're a lot, right? But those apparent failures, apparent problems, so-called hindrances, and all the things that could get in the way of us being faithful, he knows. He's in complete control of it. He's just turn to him. Ask him, allow him, wait on him, allow him in his time and way. You will get deliverance. These things that are just, you've seen since the day of your conversion, if anything, they've got worse. Oh, friends. And yet the preacher comes along and says, God has called you to be holy. God has called you to be faithful and wise. God wants you to have wisdom and walk like Jesus. It's just like, that's... In the Father's right time, you will get your deliverance. These are the very things that are causing us to realize our dependence upon God. There's something that they're still around for a reason. There is a reason that God in his wisdom has allowed them to remain, when in his power he could have just swept them aside the day you got saved. But in his wisdom, he's allowed it to remain. That's not a reflection on his power. That is a revelation of his wisdom. But Christians, we're not very good at waiting, are we? We're not very good at acknowledging the fact that here we are, in some respects, we've got it. We can believe for that. We know about that. But in other things, we're like helpless babies at the mercy of whatever growls at us. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but sometimes it can feel like that. And that is just to keep us in a place communing with God. Just continue to seek him, to cause us to realise we're not in heaven yet. We're not yet in the promised land. He doesn't want us putting our roots down. He doesn't want us getting comfortable and setting our affections on things below when our affections should be on things above. Yes. There's a tremendous work going on, a deep work with God allowing these things. You see, part of God's omnipotence is his ability to control all his other attributes. Now, he's got to keep himself under control. Only God completely and fully accomplishes what he wills. Man can't, even you and I, even men filled with the Spirit are but men. And we cannot always accomplish what we set out to do, what we will to do. We don't have his power, praise God. Power belongs to the Lord. And the power to overcome, the power to walk in the Spirit, to finally walk in your deliverance, God will dispense it in the manifested form at his right time. at the moment, he's teaching us that faithful endurance no matter what. If we can endure faithfully through this, then we're passing the test of faithfulness. Anyone can overcome, so-called, if they've got nothing to overcome. Anyone can be faithful when there's no hindrance. But you only know a person is faithful when they've overcome the temptation to be unfaithful. You only know a person has faith when they've overcome the temptation to doubt or be afraid. And this is what God is doing. This is what he's working within us. Praise God. Now let's look at some scripture in this as we... Well, there's a lot, so it'll be a couple of weeks we're going to spend at this, but I want to start with Luke chapter 16. You see, because Philip was faithful in this, in what we looked at in Acts chapter 6, we read he eventually went on to become an evangelist. Stephen, faithful in that ministry with great gifts and power and signs and wonders. He has a central place in the kingdom. Now, does that sound familiar? He that is faithful in a few things is faithful in much. Jesus said, you've been faithful in a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things, many cities. If we're just faithful with the one or two or three things that God has given us, each day, faithful in what is presented to us, it might not look much to you and I, but God sees faithfulness and he will trust you with much more in time to come and in the kingdom. Those few things that we were faithful with will result in the what we would call, you know, the greater things in respect of the kingdom. Praise God. So, chapter 16, a couple of parables here that I want to look at. Chapter 16 of Luke. So we'll begin with the parable of the unjust steward. Now there are two ways to take this. You can either be negative and think, oh well, that's me, I'm finished, no good. As with everything in Scripture, or you can be positive. Let the Holy Spirit minister this to you in redemption to encourage. Don't let the devil condemn or harshly criticise, because this is a warning. It doesn't mean that you're going to fail. So allow the Holy Spirit to minister God's redemption to you in this. So Luke chapter 16, he also said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. So this is what it's all about, giving an account to Almighty God for our stewardship. Then the steward said within himself, what can I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig, I'm ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, write 50. He said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill, write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. I'll just stop there just briefly. God blesses when we minister our stewardship with wisdom, not simply generosity. God highly commends wisdom. But let's read the whole parable because we don't want to get the wrong idea at this point. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now, you might think, well, hang on a minute, that contradicts everything else Scripture says about covetousness, about greed, about, you know, money in this life and the things in this life. Right, verses 10 to 13 explain the whole point of what Jesus is saying here. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Solemn words. But you see, dear friends, God is dealing with the heart here. It's not just in finances, but in all that he's given us. The principle here is to be faithful in what he's given us at the time. Prove your faithfulness in what you have now. Prove your faithfulness in your stewardship, your financial stewardship. And other things will be committed to you. He's saying here, if you can't get it right financially, who's going to trust you with the true riches, with the spiritual riches, with revelation, with the responsibilities of ministry? And if you've not been faithful with what is another man's and something that's been given, how are you going to have your own? How are you going to have your own ministry? No, and here's the heart of the matter, no one can serve two masters. You'll hate one or love the other, loyal to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, why are we looking, starting with mammon, with finances? Because we're dealing with hindrances to being faithful in the other things that God has given us. Do you remember in the book of Acts, they were complaining because they weren't being fed. It's the daily ministration they were being neglected in. And Philip and the others doing great signs and wonders in the matter of material provision. Until we have understood that nothing should be allowed to be a hindrance to our ministry, this is why we're still going through what we're going through. We've got to be faithful in this, that we don't even give it a thought. Now, it's a deliverance, friends. It is for some, it's a big problem, and it's a real deliverance. There should be no reason to give up on a ministry except death. And even that isn't giving up on it, is it? It's until, you know, till death does part. There's no valid reason, other than obviously if, like, it seems to be taking us away from the word and prayer, then maybe we need to ask some serious questions. But, you know, why were we doing it in the first place, really? But if we've been given a thing, let's do it until God moves us to the next thing. And one of the biggest hindrances to us being faithful in what God is giving us is a financial concern, the pressures, the cares of this life. When the Lord comes, he wants to find us occupied about the things of the kingdom, not about the cares of this life, the cares of this world, riches and the lusts of other things entering in. That's what chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. When the Lord comes, he wants to find a faithful servant occupied in the things that he has given him to do, to serve the body of Christ. So we need to be dealing with this as a major hindrance. You cannot serve God and mammon. If we choose to serve God, he will see to it that mammon serves us. It will not be a problem. We will experience his abundance to enable us to serve in the kingdom. Matthew 25. Again, the parable of the talents. Kingdom of Heaven, start with verse 14, which we know. The kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, called his own servants, delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately went on a journey. So he's given gifts. Now those talents in themselves do not mean ability. It means, the Greek word there is mina, M-I-N-A, it's a financial, it's a sum of money, and it represents responsibility. Each one of us has a certain amount of responsibility according to the ability, the talents and ability he's given us. So what he's saying is, if he's given us a certain ability, a certain gift, that is a responsibility to serve the body of Christ with that. And he knows our capacity, he knows our ability to do, whether we're clever, whether we're strong, he knows our mindset, he knows it all. And the grace that he's given us. No one is to minister beyond their present level of anointing or grace. He knows what he's doing at each stage of our life. Some people, you hear these amazing testimonies, you know, within a week they're called into the ministry or whatever it would be. Or you look at the Apostle Paul's life and you think, goodness me, straight away, look what he was doing. But we're not all the Apostle Paul. God meets us where we're at, and we start with what we've got according to the ability that God gives us. And as we're faithful with that, he then moves us on. So we then know the account. He says, occupy till I come. He then gives the various coins, talents, as it were. Some had five, as we know, one had two, one had one. But those with the five and the two were faithful, they produced others. The one with the one with the least, was afraid. And this is the thing. So let's start take it up then in verse 24. He who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And so here we have the next major hindrance to faithfulness in whatever God has called us to, and that's fear. That is, it won't work, I'll get it wrong, I'll make a mess of it, I'll have to be judged. And friends, this is why God, in his love, is delivering us from fear. So we're looking, he's delivering us from financial, which at the end of the day, that's anxiety, isn't it? It's a type of fear. So really, God is digging deep like he is, he's getting to the root with all that we're going through, to set us free from fear. He loves us. He's given us this privilege, this indescribable privilege, because of redemption, because of his love. Not because he wants to punish or judge or hold us to account and do all that, although that's been covered, you know, in our teaching, hasn't it, that we're to be responsible, we've all given account. But he wants us to succeed. Our Heavenly Father wants us to pass the test, to overcome, to inherit the kingdom. Yes. Fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
That's right.
Yes. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to make a full, you know, blessing out of what he gives us.
Yes.
And so that's why he's rooting out all fear, all concern for worldly things, so that we can be entirely free, faithful to him, occupied with nothing but his interests. And look at the glory, look at what he says in verse 29. So he reproves that wicked servant, and he says, start with verse 28 and 29. Therefore take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant out of darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. We're not going to look at that for our lives, are we? But that warning is there, has to be mentioned. But verse 29, this is what happens to those who are faithful. As we are faithful with what God gives us today, more will be given to us.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Back to Luke chapter 12 in closing. So again, verses 35 through to 48 is more or less the same, it's the same type of message. But what I want to look at, God deals with us according to the light that we have in verse 48. He who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, will be beaten with you. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Now, don't let that crush or frighten. The more we get, as we prove our faithfulness, God isn't going to overwhelm us with things we can't cope with. Like we said right at the beginning, this is not about striving or trying to get works done or doing something to try and earn our place in the assembly. It's been given us. It's to worship God, to love him, enjoy him forever. He will give us each day what he knows we're capable by faith. That'll stretch us somewhat. So capable by faith, by his grace. As we're faithful with that, he'll give more. The law of the kingdom is increase, fruitfulness. If you look in the parables of a kingdom, one of the main laws of the kingdom is that fruitfulness. And as we're faithful, God will show us each day how to bear fruit for his glory. How to be fruitful, how to be faithful. But it begins in prayer. Now, I've deliberately stayed away from specific things of deacons. There's more to come in this. I'll finish it next week. You know, certain things are said specifically about deacons, about servants. I've stayed away from specifics because I want to deal with the heart, you know, before God, of being faithful. But I've mentioned prayer specifically, and that's deliberate. If we can get that right, if we're faithful in that, everything else will come from that. At the moment in our assembly, there are those who are ministering, functioning faithfully, ministry of helps, monitoring, the overhead protection, the website, all those things that are being administered. Right, that's all faithful stewardship. It's a deacon in the assembly. Other practical needs that don't get heard of. Meeting the needs, physically, practically. Ministering healing to the sick. Visiting the lost. All those things are things we can be doing, but it begins, friends, each one of us, it begins as we're faithful in the matter of prayer. It begins from that. And you're going to find, yes, we've had to be warned about the faithful and the unfaithful, but friends, as we prove ourselves faithful each day with what he's given us, we're going to find God giving us more in time. As we learn, as we allow the Spirit to train us in that wisdom, in what it is to bear fruit, we'll then find God increasing, God blessing. We are believing for the Lord to add to this assembly. We are believing for God to add souls to this assembly, and he will. But what does that mean? What does that mean? They're going to come with their needs. They'll come with their gifts as well. God, when they're saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, they will have wonderful gifts with which to serve the body of Christ, but they will also have needs. They will also have tremendous needs. Those needs have got to be met at every level, spiritually and practical.
Yes.
Are we ready for that? Are we ready to serve? This whole thing in the kingdom is not to be served, but to serve.
Yes.
And this is why we're so few in number. This is why the Lord is training us like he is, so that we can learn through the prayer of faith, get our own needs out of the way, and then spend that time serving our brother and sister. So, praise the Lord. That's the start. There's more to come next week, more specifically. It's a blessed ministry, the ministry of deacon.
Yes.
The ministry of servant. Jesus commends those who serve. Those who humble themselves to serve spiritually and literally, wash one another's feet, are highly exalted in the kingdom. All he's looking for, dear brothers and sisters, not great intelligence, not even great theological knowledge. Are we faithful? Are we allowing the Lord to remove those hindrances to faithfulness? That fear, that anxiety, that selfishness, putting selfish interests first. and just faithfully serving him in what he's given us each day. He will give more. We will find that all we're seeking in the kingdom comes from that. A simple faithfulness each day in what God has provided. Praise God. Well, nothing spectacular there this evening if you're hoping for something mountain moving, because we're talking about faithfulness. We're talking about faithful endurance and the Lord, by his Spirit, removing those hindrances. Amen. But friends, the rewards are, you know, how can you compare? How can you compare with what we have to go through? There isn't a lot of time left anyway now. I'm just picking up in my spirit, you know, the Lord is moving. There's a stirring going on. There's a final preparation for the Lord to return to the bride that's making herself ready.
Yes.
And how do we how does the bride make herself ready? Well, we, each one of us, preparing ourselves. We'll read more from Luke, where we looked at the parable where Jesus said, you know, to know his will and not prepare. The servant will be beaten with many stripes, but those who, you know, it's that one of what we've been given, the light we've been given, we prepare ourselves. So what is it to prepare? Well, you and I, each one of us, are part of preparing the body of Christ. We've looked in Ephesians how the fivefold ministry are used to teach and train and perfect the body ministry. But if we're doing our job right, each one of us are part of preparing the bride of Christ for the Lord's return. And 90% of that preparation is that faithful prayer life. It's the saint who's praying for the body, praying for the ministry, praying for the Lord to add. You know, praying for those things. That's how the body of Christ is being prepared for the Lord's return. And Jesus said, blessed is that servant when his master comes, who he finds so doing. He will be made ruler over his whole household. He'll be made ruler over many cities. The rewards will be great in the kingdom of heaven for those who persisted in prayer. No matter what they're going through, you'll find them faithful, praying. They're the ones, really, they're the ones that God commends. Praise God.
Praise God.
As I say, nothing profound, nothing spectacular, just an exhortation. Remain faithful to what God has shown you. He doesn't expect you to be faithful or to know what he hasn't shown you. Faithful to what he has shown you. It's all grace, friends. It's all grace. If God requires it, he'll give it. Praise God. God bless you, brethren. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Thank you. Praise his name. Thank you.